52. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 44 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome into this free-for-all Friday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts. Hope you guys are doing great. Hope you guys are ready for a big weekend. We all know what happens this weekend. We got the SEC championship game kicking off tomorrow at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. So we're about 28 hours or so out from that. And we'll talk about it. We'll dive into it today. It is a Friday, so we will be taking predictions. And I'm excited about it because I'm curious to see what you guys are going to be predicting this weekend. I do know that typically you guys are heavy leaners towards Bama in, you know, a strong way all the time, no matter what pundits say or lines say. But I'm curious how you guys feel about this one, because to be fair, there's a lot of people, and I've even seen, now I don't bet myself, but I've seen like the lines and all the things coming out that have said that a lot of people are actually putting some money on Georgia. So I'm curious what you guys think about this matchup. Like I said, we'll talk about it. We'll dive into it. We'll give you our preview, our prediction, all that good stuff like we always do on this Friday, and I'm excited about it. Championship weekend. There'll be some other good games we can dive into a little bit as well. And then we know what comes after this weekend, the final college football playoff rankings. Maybe we'll talk a little bit or preview what that could look like, and then talk about some scenarios on how that could go, barring, you know, the results of these games. So there's a lot to dive into, a lot to talk about, and we definitely will do that. But first, let me remind you about our friends over at the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. Try before you buy, nothing to lose. These things are incredible. Arch supports, premium arch supports that are designed to eliminate and alleviate all types of pain, whether it's foot pain, knee pain, back pain, hip pain, you name it, they take care of it. And all you got to do is throw them in your shoes. They can be boots. Hell, they can be sandals. They even have like the technology little pads that you can stick them on there to wear them with sandals too. So it goes for any type of footwear that you wear, as long as you do wear footwear. And they get to work, clinically proven to knock that pain out in just 4 short weeks. So make sure you guys check them out if you want more information or would like to schedule an appointment or even find the nearest location to you. They are nationwide. Go to goodfeet.com where you can do all that. Or you can always just walk in there right here in Tuscaloosa, right there in Midtown Village. They would be glad to take you and show you what those things are about. Man, I'm telling you, they are the real deal. So check them out. Again, that is the Good Feet Store. Improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time. I know we need to catch back up. We've had a lot of guests. We've been talking a lot of football, which is great. But we need to catch back up a little bit on some of these interviews, guys. We haven't heard from, you know, Kalen DeBoer. Kirby Smart also spoke a lot of press conferences and media access regarding this SEC championship game. So I would love to go back and listen to those a little bit. Maybe not all of them, because I think they are a little long, but I would love to hear from both head coaches. That way we can listen to it, respond to it, and talk about it and break it down here on the show. So that's what I got planned for you guys. And per usual, you're always welcome to get in on the conversation. 205-342-9904 is the number to the phone lines, or you can always hit us up here on the stream, join in on the chat, drop your questions, comments, or concerns right there. Plus, we still got that Tide 100.9 app. Make sure you guys download that. And you can also leave your app message right there or app voice message. And by the way, I know sometimes it seems like a lot of time recently we haven't gotten to them as much. I will say this, though. I have it now. So basically the questions were going to my junk mail. Now they go to my, you know, my regular inbox. So I'll make sure I constantly check that. So if we do have some app messages, I don't want to be missing them, because I don't want you guys thinking I forgot about you guys, or I don't check the inbox. I promise we do. We've just gotten they've gotten lost a little bit, but now they've been found. So we're back with that. Download that Tide 100.9 app as we speak. That being said, let's hit our first time out and stay on schedule. When we come back, we let it rip. We get started. We start breaking down this Alabama-Georgia matchup, SEC championship game, coming at you tomorrow from hot Atlanta. Looking forward to it. But first, we'll talk about it right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
The lineup offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration,
We transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9-
Outdoor living spaces and more. Let the professionals at Hudco Landscaping and Irrigation do those projects around your home or business. HudcoLandscape.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. All right, we're going to be talking about this SEC championship game pretty much all show long, man. It comes tomorrow, and a lot of people looking forward to it. We know what's on the line, SEC championship game, and some people still feel like there could be some playoff implications. I'll be honest, I feel like that's not so much the case. I feel like both teams, regardless, find themselves in the playoffs, but with this committee, I guess you never want to put all your eggs in one basket. That being said, I do agree with Ricky in the chat, man. I mean, at the end of the day, this still means something. I hate that we've kind of lost touch with the significance of the conference championship games with all the attention on all the playoff games. But this is a big deal, man. And I heard Kirby talk about it. He said it. Basically, what I was talking about, the same stuff we do here, right? I mean, we acknowledge being conference champions. I mean, we put up not necessarily banners, but you get what I'm saying, like the numbers in the indoor. We put up like the numbers and the trophies and, you know, all the displays possible, whether it's in the upstairs part of Mount Moore where there is a SEC, you know, right when you walk in Mount Moore, actually, this wall designated to the conference championship wins. I mean, it's a big deal. And I would love to see us be conference champions. I know the playoffs and the national championship picture, that's awaiting us. But, I mean, to be able to claim a conference championship in the best conference in college football, man, I mean, that's a big deal, especially when you're talking about this is, you know, only year two under Kalen DeBoer. And I think if you were to go back and I guess reassess like the hiring and say, hey, we're going to hire Kalen DeBoer, and in year two, he's going to have Alabama in a conference championship game, I think everybody would be fired up, right? So can't lose sight of that. It's a big deal, and we're definitely going to treat it as such. Definitely a very interesting game, not only because this is a rematch between two really good teams, two of the top teams in the country, two very familiar teams, but also the injury battle. Chase, Reed, Jackson, man, I'll be honest with you. There's a lot that you really have to pay attention to in this game because could, you know, really be a big deal. We have the latest, I guess, injury report. I believe it came out last night. Not only is LT Overton out of the game, but I mentioned who could we see as the next man up in those spots. We definitely have seen a lot more Keon Keeley throughout the course of this season, specifically more in passing down situations, but we've been seeing Jordan Renaud get some snaps, some of those early downs, as well as passing down situations. So I threw those two names out, but also threw 17, Kelby Collins. I threw his name out there. He's also a bandit. And I threw him out there because we had been seeing a lot more of him. Now, he hadn't played much at all up until the last maybe three or four games. But I thought since he had finally gotten some more reps, he was playing some pretty good football. Well, unfortunately, he also is now listed on the injury report, and he also is listed as out. You know, when we listen to Kalen DeBoer, and I'll try my best to kind of skip through it, but he did mention illnesses / medical being the reasoning for both of those players not being available in this game. Definitely a big blow. We already talked about LT Over, and we'll talk a little bit more about that, why we know he's a really good player, but why that could be such a huge impact in this matchup. But then you look at, you know, his backup or one of the backups. Now you're really only down to, you know, Keon Keeley and Jordan Renaud at the bandit spot. Now, of course, there's different, you know, personnel groupings and things they can do, but just not what you want to hear going into a conference championship game, even though you know at this point of the year, there's going to be injuries. There's going to be guys banged up. Nobody's going to be healthy. But when you look at how banged up these two teams are, I mean, I don't even know which team is worse. I mean, looking at Alabama, you talk about LT Overton and the significance of him and on that defensive line. I mean, pound for pound, arguably, your best player on defense, right? You're talking about a guy who's very reliable stopping the run. We know his pass rush ability might not light up the stat sheet in terms of sacks or, you know, getting back there. But in terms of just, you know, consistently doing his job and having an effect on the game. I mean, he's the man. Other than maybe Bray Hubbard with his impact, and we know, you know, that definitely shows up a lot more, especially in terms of like critical moments, forcing turnovers. But I mean, on a down and down basis, LT Overton is like your complete guy right there, and it's gonna be tough not having him out there. The good news is, listen, Keon Keeley, Jordan Renan, I think those guys will be able to be enough. But I think there definitely is, without a doubt, going to be a clear drop-off from having LT out there to some of the others. I wouldn't be shocked if we see them mix some things up. For example, you've got guys like Edric Hill. We've seen even James Smith. I can go back and show you. But if you went and watched the Iron Bowl, if you go back and watch it, or if you notice this during the game, you'll see we have situations. Because really, at this point, defensively, you know, it's a multiple defense. You see 3-3-5 looks, which really is stemming from the 4-2-5 look, but sometimes they take the wolf, is what they call it, the outside backer, and they have him, you know, stacked back, and not quite stacked back, but kind of hovering around. That ends up making more of like a 3-3-5 look. What I'm getting at is we had seen in the Iron Bowl, I mean, James Smith was even out there playing a 5 technique. So I wouldn't be shocked if you see some pieces move around, right? Like if you see Edric Hill come in there, but then they might be able to flex James Smith in some spots, even though James Smith typically is definitely more on the interior side of things. He's shown that he can play in a 4-eye like LT does a lot, could even get in a 5 technique if he needs to. So what I'm getting at is you've got guys that play in the true bandit position, but if there's ever anything else you need to do to kind of, you know, mix and match some stuff, say you want, you know, heavier personnel, right? Say maybe Renan and Keon might not have that same presence as run defenders. You always can take a guy like James Smith and maybe, you know, put him in that 4-eye. You get what I'm saying? So there's going to be some stuff that you probably will see to kind of help compensate that. And then clearly when it's, you know, passing situations, the return of Quay Rousseau helps out a lot. We've seen LT rush a lot out of the 5. Well, now you've got Quay Rousseau back. He's still, I mean, I wouldn't say he's 100%, but he's working himself back. Looked pretty good against Auburn, you know, but he's not fully there, but nice to have him there. So what I'm getting at is I don't think LT is going to just, him being out is going to completely change the game, but it definitely makes you, as a defensive coordinator or whatever, really have to assess what's the best response to that. Not to mention the other side of the ball, all the other injuries, right? I think the latest is, like we were talking with Jackson before we came on here, probably not going to see Jam. I think I said it yesterday, but I'm going to be honest with you guys. If I had to put money on it, you're probably not going to see Jam or Quavis. I know they're still listed as probable. Matter of fact, I'll just pull up the injury report so you guys can see it. I don't expect to see either one of those guys. I would expect both of those players to be out in this game, which is, you know, again, big loss, right? Especially Quavis, just knowing what he brings. I think the biggest one for me that I'm paying attention to as well, because I already anticipated not having those guys, is seeing Dewberry on there. I think Coach Shabor said that he's kind of working himself back, but having your left guard banged up next to a center who's been banged up, wouldn't be shocked if you see a lot more of Vandermark in this game. What I'm getting at is there's a lot of guys banged up, and even though you expect it, I mean, there's no denying that it definitely, there's some cause for concern. Now, if you look at their side of the football, their center being out, Bobo, if you watched how they looked, you know, at Georgia Tech when he wasn't playing, there definitely was a big difference. I will say sometimes when you're throwing a guy like next man up in the fire like that who wasn't necessarily prepping to go play, that can make that difference look pretty significant versus him now having a week of practice. So we'll have to see. But I think that could be a huge, huge deal for them not having their center. Ours will be there, but just banged up. Theirs is out. He's already listed as out. Another guy I noticed was, I want to say maybe he's off of it now. I know Colby Young is definitely out, but I think maybe they had another receiver. Maybe he's off of it now, but definitely something to pay attention to. But right now, according to yesterday's injury report, this is the latest. Just threw it on the screen here. Jam questionable, but I don't expect him to play. Cam Dewberry, I expect him to play. Josh Quavis, I don't expect him to play, and I'm not too sure on Danny Lewis, if I'm being honest with you. You see the rest of the guys that are already listed as out. So Kevin Riley, I forgot to mention him. He's out. So you're really left with Daniel Hill, and you've got a AK Deer that everybody's been calling for. So we'll see if he can make himself an impact, because he's definitely going to get himself a number of carries in this football game, and hopefully he can have one of those, you know, welcome to the party moments. I think that'd be big and definitely much needed, because I do think running the football will be big for us in this game if we can find a way to keep that momentum with what we've seen over the last couple of weeks. Let's hit a timeout and stay on schedule when we come back. We've got JR on the phone lines. We'll take a call real quick. Plus, we'll gear up to hear from head coach Kevin DeBoer, hear a little bit from head coach Kirby Smart. We'll continue breaking down this matchup, getting y'all's predictions and more right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feast Store, America's Arch Sport Expo.
On Facebook, Andrew Conifer Agency. Once again, you can reach us at 205-722-9201. Allstate, are you in good hands?
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors.
The Tide Postgame Show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Free-for-all Friday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. We're talking about this Alabama-Georgia matchup in the SEC Championship game. Spent a lot of time talking about injuries, but we had to get that out of the way because it's a really important factor, in my opinion, in this game. I mean, especially with us, I know they're banged up, and again, I mean, the updates with them, their center is the biggest one, him being out, seeing the difference it made in the Georgia Tech game. That's going to be interesting, especially when you're talking about a team that likes to run the football. Last time these two teams faced each other, they did rush for like 227 yards. They're definitely going to be looking to run the football in this game. However, their rhythm and a lot of things just kind of went out of whack when their center went down. You know, you're talking about a guy that helps get checks and things, you know, protections and blocking schemes. I mean, I think the backup, at least one of them, is a freshman. I mean, he's going to be tasked at handling big Tim Keenan. And so he's got his hands full. So it's not just us that's going to be, you know, battling, you know, having some of our best players out, which I think could be a big, you know, issue for them. You know, because I'll be honest, one of my keys, you know, I'll start here before we go to the phone lines. They're going to have to find a way to establish their running game, similar to what they did last time. That's what helps them out. Just like we talk about with us, it takes pressure over Gunnar Stockton. And he's playing much better football than he did the last time around. However, and he really was trending this way that you see Georgia Tech, whether it's, you know, things got out of rhythm, center going down, whatever the case may have been, things just looked a little off. But I do know, I mean, they benefit so much. When they're able to run the football effectively, their offense flows so much better. He's been making better throws, been making better reads, that is true. But when the running game is not there for Georgia, that's one of the biggest issues that they start having, right, when their whole offense kind of, because they run a lot of play action, they build off of their running game. And so we have to find a way to stop that. When we talk about LT being out, him being banged up, that is something to pay attention to. But the good news is this time around, our defense, man, is in a much better spot. Just like their defense is playing better, our defense is playing much better. And not only that, we're stopping the run way better than we were the last time around, which I think could be a big plus for us in this game and something that we're going to have to do a good job of in this football game if we want to have a good chance of being crowned SEC champions. We'll continue talking about keys and breakdowns, all that. But first, let's go back to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We got JR up first. JR, welcome in.
Hey, how you doing, Christian?
Hey, JR.
I just glad I got through to you today. I been listening to your show for several days, and sure, I do enjoy your breakdown on all the things that's going on. And, you know, with the injuries that you've been mentioning, I feel like there's a load more of them on Alabama's side of the ball than it is Georgia's.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, there is. And, I mean, if you look at, I mean, their center being their biggest one, I mean, him being out is a huge deal. But I will say the fact that they've had a week now to prep the backup or whoever it will be, I expect that to look better than it did, you know, in the Georgia Tech game. But you're right. I mean, there's no denying it. I mean, we're beating up bad, especially on offense, even with the guys that are playing. I mean, you're talking about our center that's banged up. Now we have left guard that's banged up. The tight end's out. Jam is out. And there's just a number of players. Kevin Riley, who also, I mean, I know people are going to overlook that one, but still, that means two of your top four backs are out of this game. You know, it's just, we're just very thin. And look, it's part of it. I mean, you expect that around this time of year. It's the end of the season. We've been going to war for, about 3 months now?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, so it comes with it, but you hate it knowing that, man, you're in a great position to do something. You know, first SEC championship appearance for Kalen DeBoer. You would have liked to be a lot healthier, but, you know, you just got to have that next man up mentality. And the good news is we do play a lot of football players. So it's not like we're just throwing guys exactly. who haven't played at all. So that is the good news.
Right. Well, I got a question that you mentioned about started talking about some of the players that are injured. Last week, playing against Auburn, Ty Simpson, after the 17-0 lead we got, it seemed like he got hit pretty hard, and he didn't play the same win for a while. And you know, I was just wondering, do you have any idea on any word on his situation, whether he's had an injury or whether it's just he's rubbed it off?
Oh, you know, Ty's healthy. I mean, he's practiced and, yeah, he's good to go. I mean,
great.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he got his bell rung. I'm sure he didn't feel great after that game. I'm sure he's probably still a little sore right now as we speak. But, no, I mean, he's good to go. I mean, and he falls under the category of probably 60% of the team, you know, that probably feels the same way. I mean, even guys on defense from going and laying hits, I mean – everybody's got a shoulder, right? They're not going to be on the injury report, but everybody's got a shoulder, a hamstring, an ankle, a knee, sometimes multiple of those things that are tweaked, twisted, sprained, but they're fighting through it, man. And so I think that's the one thing that's a good point you bring up. I hope people remember these things. So sometimes I get people are critical and like, man, but just remember, man, these guys have been going to war for a minute, man. And I can just tell you by experience, there's going to be games where you're not 100%. No one knows that. And so sometimes you just, you know, you're just fighting through it. But these guys are tough, man. I know they'll be ready for the challenge.
Well, I feel like that's, you know, the same way on both Georgia's team and Alabama's team as well. You know, there's injuries that are not even mentioned. They're just kind of band-aiding through it, you know. And exactly. But anyway, I was really interested in your take on the injury report that you've given. But I wanted to ask you one quick thing about their center being banged up, or is he out, or is he just banged up?
Yeah, he's listed as out.
He's out, and then their second string is the one that's been in there. This will be the second week. He's had a week to prepare. But is that still possible that we could throw some things to confuse, some things in there that would confuse him, mix him up, cause him to do some kind of rattle his cage?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, anytime you have someone fresh in there, I mean, you're going to look to try to take advantage of that. I can tell you right now, I mean, I'm sure Freddie Roach, Jamie Mosley, and that staff on defense, I mean, they're probably going to be game planning some stuff, trying to get some mismatches, trying to get some, you know, maybe try to isolate him. The only thing I will say is, as a center, you're protected, right? Because you have two guards on each side. So it's a little bit different. Right. If you have like a fresh tackle in there, you know, you can try to isolate that guy a lot more. I mean, they could try to put chips in there to help him out, but you get what I'm saying. But still, yeah, I'm sure they're going to challenge him. They're going to test him. Tim Keenan, I mean, he's a handful, man. I mean, Tim Keenan's a big dude. I mean, I hope he's ready to try to deal with that all game long. But yeah, that's something as a coach you definitely think about. You try to consider, hey, they got a fresh guy in there. We're going to challenge him. We're going to test him and see if he can handle it. And not just for a couple series, but all game. And, you know, I expect that to definitely be something, whether you're trying to blitz some guys, some backers through the A gaps, whether you're trying to just, you know, get some big guys on them and try to see what he's made of. But I fully expect that.
Yeah, that sounds good. I want to get a prediction on the score and get through with this call so that you can get some other callers in. I'm sure they're anxious to get in on this free-for-all Friday.
Yes, sir. So, yeah, go ahead. What's your score prediction?
My score prediction is 27-24.
27-24. We might need to find some type of tiebreaker, because I feel like I know we've gotten one, and I feel like we're probably going to get a few more. That just feels like a Georgia-Alabama type score. So we'll figure out a tiebreaker if it comes to that. We got you down for it. I like it.
All right. I was gonna go 24-21, but I thought I'm gonna leave it like that, 27-24. I like that score.
I was about to say, no, you're good. Don't let me sway you. I just was saying, I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, yeah, I need to prepare on this, because we got a few of the similar scores. I feel like we hadn't really had that problem too much.
You want me to suggest one?
Yeah, what's your suggestion?
This is something totally different than what most tiebreakers are. Total return yards, both kicking and punting, on Alabama.
Oh man, that's a random thing.
Would that be too hard?
No, random thing. So total return yards. I'll be honest. I don't even keep up with that, because I don't even know what I would even guess on that. Let me think on it. Let me think on it. Worst case, just send us an at message once I come up with it. How about that?
All right, that's fine. All right, then, that sounds good. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
It's been a great conversation with me. All right, take care.
Always. Thank you, JR. Yes, sir. Roll Tide. Good deal. Let's hit a timeout. We'll stay on schedule, and we come back. We keep rolling. I think we got another call lined up or so. I think Tommy's on there. We'll keep talking about this matchup. Keep breaking it down. I got some numbers for you. I'll compare the two teams as well, and we'll keep at it. Plus, we will hear from Kirby Smart, Kalen DeBoer. All that coming up right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Chiropractic, the only third generation chiropractor with over 27 years experience in Tuscaloosa. Call Tidwell Chiropractic at 752-7503.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9.
Get your life back, baby. Stephen Mezrano, Alabama Injury Lawyers. Mez wins.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation...
It's free! Go to MyLocalCustomers.com today.
That's MyLocalCustomers.com. MyLocalCustomers.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Cloudy this afternoon and tonight. The chance of a little scattered light rain. The best chance of rain will be south of here. The high today 51, tonight's low 39. Cloudy tomorrow. Again, the best chance of rain stays to the south over South Alabama. The high 52. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 44 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
And welcome back into this free-for-all Friday edition of Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. All right, so Tommy, we're coming to you. I promise we're going to come to you, but I want to start this Kalen DeBoer press conference because it is long. So what we'll do is kind of like weave in and out of it a little bit, since I don't have it necessarily broken up. But I promise we're coming to you on the phone lines in a second. But first, I want to hear a little bit from head coach Kalen DeBoer talking about this matchup, talking about this opportunity at his first SEC championship game tomorrow at 3. We're only about 27 hours, a little bit over 27 hours away from it. So let's hear from head coach Kalen DeBoer.
To welcome the head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide, Kalen DeBoer.
Alabama ranked number 9 in the country, 10-2, 7-1 in the SEC. Congratulations, Coach, on your berth in the SEC championship game. If you have a question, please use the raise hand function while we wait for questions. Coach DeBoer, if you'll just give us an opening statement.
Yeah, you bet. Good afternoon. Our guys are excited about this opportunity. It's one of the goals that we have in our program. And, you know, once we state that goal, it's about, the work that goes into getting to this point. But we're looking forward to what we know is going to be a hard-fought contest against an extremely talented, physical Georgia team, one that we respect a lot. And, just looking forward to this challenge. They've certainly, from their aspect, had a great hot run here, playing really good football. And, our guys, I think, looking forward to this rematch from earlier in the season. It's been a while since we played them, but looking forward to this game over in Atlanta. Also want to note a couple things. C.J. Mosley, our legend, excited to have him there representing our program. Great career here, great career in the NFL, 10 years there. In the NFL, he's been around campus a number of times, getting a chance to meet with him. Just excited about him representing us and what he means to this place. Two notes also just from a injury report. We do have two players that have illnesses, medical issues, whatever you want to call it, LT Overton and Kelby Collins. They won't be available for this game. So with that, I'm open for questions.
Thank you, Coach. If you do have a question, please use the raise hand function. I will call on you, and then you will need to unmute your line. We'll start with Colin Gay of the Tuscaloosa News. Colin.
Hey, Kalen. With LT being out, what do you plan on, or who do you plan on inserting in that bandit spot? Kind of what's the idea there?
Yeah, I mean, fortunately, throughout the year, we've rotated a lot across the board on our team, but defensively in particular. And so, the guys that have rotated with LT and, fortunately, Quay Russo also, when you talk about the edge position, he's played the last couple games. And so, we'll get more reps for him. He's ready for it. Yanzay will continue to ramp up his load. And so, we have guys that have played a lot of snaps that will continue to, just play the role that they've been playing. Maybe a few more snaps, that they'll get.
Next question will come from Charlie Potter of Bama Online. Charlie.
Yeah, Coach, just sticking with the injuries, where do things kind of stand with Jam, Josh Cuevas, and Cam Dewberry?
Yeah. Jam, still questionable. We'll see here in the next couple of days. Cam Dewberry's coming along here as the week progresses. And Josh Cuevas, same as Jam, kind of see here at the end of the week. So, I know all those guys a couple of weeks down the road will be definitely good to go. But just kind of here, 1 week out from last week's game, and some of the injuries that have happened, we're not quite sure yet. So they're coming along, working, doing everything they can.
Okay, we'll now go to Jeff Spiegel from ABC 3340. Jeff, go ahead.
Quick commercial, and we're back.
Go ahead, Jeff.
How you doing? Kalen, you mentioned in the post-game locker room after the Iron Bowl that, there's a difference between hope and belief. How strongly does this team just believe that, when it looks like the chips are down, they're going to get it done? And how important is that heading into this championship game?
Well, I mean, we've had enough opportunities, just like any SEC game, every single week. All these teams that you play as well are going to have the adversity. There's just too many talented players on the football field every single Saturday. There's going to be momentum swings, playmakers that can make plays. And I think what you really got to do is you got to, go back to what we've been talking about, working on since January, the training, and how that allows you to be physical on the football field, the stamina it takes, at this time of year. I feel like our guys are continuing trajectory up. They continue to get stronger. We have proof of that. We can see that and they feel it on the football field. And then, there's a mentality that you're building, and some of it comes from the strength. And some of it comes from the stamina that these guys have, but it also comes from just a real real belief that you know you have through reps that you've talked about, you know, situations from a year ago that we were in where, you know, we've had the chance to learn from them. All of our experiences that have shaped what this team is and, you know, how we've come through only make us believe even more, give us that much more confidence. And so time and time again, it might not always be the end of the game. It might be earlier in a game where, you know, you know, end of the half, a 2-minute drive, the way, you know, your defense gets a stop and the offense can go out there and put even just 3 points on the board, you know, in our clutch period there. So just our guys, really, I think when you look at our team, it's a balanced team. It's a team that believes in each other. We understand our identity, being physical tough, physically and mentally tough. And then also just, you know, to win in the turnover margin. That's a big deal for us. You know, and going out there and playing for 60 minutes, our guys are going to leave it on the football field.
Our next question will come from Seth Emerson of The Athletic. Seth.
Hey, Kalen. In terms of playing a team twice in a season, obviously you did it 2 years ago at Washington. And I think you did it. I went all the way back to Sioux Falls a couple times against Morningside, if I'm right on that. What are the dynamics there? And how does it matter in this game?
Mm-hmm. As a coordinator also at Fresno State, we played 2 years in a row. We played almost back-to-back games against Boise State. Right. And this one's a little different because the game happened so much earlier in the season. Most of those that you're referring to happened late, and then within a couple of weeks you were playing again. I think what you see between us and Georgia now, you see two teams that do what you know you need to do. You say it, but you do it, and doing it is the key, and that's improve each and every week. Learn from your mistakes, understand your strengths, develop players. You know, there's new guys on both of our teams that are making plays that probably weren't as big a part of the game plan back in week four. And so that's a tribute to Coach Smart and what he does with his program, developing their players. And I know that's something we take a lot of pride in as well. So, you know, you understand what that game was about, but you also understand more who you are now. There are things that you maybe tried or that, you know, that didn't go as well the first time around that you learn a lesson or two from. You know, there's an identity now and you still got to do what you do. But it has changed some because it's, you know, 8 games, you know, since we played that one. So both teams have continued to evolve. Both teams have continued to improve.
Our next question will come from Nick Kelly of AL.com. Nick. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, Kalen. With some of the guys in the front seven being out, what kind of role can Keon Keeley have, and how have you seen him develop throughout the season?
Yeah, guys like that, Keon continued to ramp up his role, someone who now, you know, we've really put out there and have full trust in. And, you know, he's got full trust and belief along with his teammates and then what he can do for us too. So, you know, all those guys are more than capable and, you know, they're going to get their opportunity.
Mayor McHeadcheese.
Diane.
All right, well, that's perfect. We got to hit a timeout ourselves while we have a quick commercial break here on the stream for the video we're playing. So we'll do just that, the top hour break here. We'll continue breaking down this matchup. We'll hear a little bit more from head coach Kalen DeBoer, and that was him speaking during his press conference that he did yesterday. Want to hear a little bit from Kirby as well from their side. Plus, I'll continue giving some more keys throughout the show for this game. We'll get y'all's prediction. It is a prediction Friday. And go to you guys on the phone lines, 205-342-9904. All that coming up right here on the Miller's Edge, top 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Sports Studios in Los Angeles.
Thursday night football kicked off week 14 of the NFL, and the Lions outscored the Cowboys 44-30, where Jared Goff threw for 309 yards and a touchdown, while Dak Prescott threw for 376 yards, one touchdown and two interceptions. In the NBA, Rui Hachimura coming in clutch for the Lakers.
Just make sure you get the last shot in regulation.
Reeves, there he goes, Reeves to James, kick it.
It on Lakers television from Spectrum Sportsnet. The final score against the Raptors, 123-120. Austin Reeves led the way with 44 points, but LeBron James' streak of 1,297 games with 10 points ended tonight as he ended with 8 points. In the NHL, Connor McDavid had a hat trick, and the Oilers beat the Kraken 9-4.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome back into this free-for-all Friday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. Breaking down this SEC Championship game tomorrow, 3 p.m. kick. It's going to be an interesting game for sure. Reed, Chase, I'll be honest with you, man. Like Coach DeBoer just said, you know, it was so long ago that these teams played, and both teams have changed so much since, right? Things are a lot different now with both of these football teams. I've got the numbers pulled up here, courtesy of Cover Crimson, highlighting some of them. It's funny, you know, you look at both football teams, very similar in a number of ways. 33.3 points per game for Alabama, 32.3 for Georgia, 16.5 points per game allowed for Alabama's defense, 16.7 allowed for Georgia. Yards per game, 404.4 for Alabama, 416.1 for Georgia, right? So very similar numbers, even yards per game allowed, right? 282.2 to 290.8. That being said, these teams look a lot different than they did in week, well, I guess it was, I think it was technically week five, but it was game number four of the season. And if you go back and watch that matchup, I mean, there's the story of that game was a number of things. I mean, you had a hot start with Alabama earlier in the game. Second half, Georgia, you know, they went to the drawing board like Kirby and those guys do, made their second half adjustments, and they had a much better game plan defensively and came up with some big stops. But third down, Third down was a killer for Georgia in that game. Since then, they've done a much better job getting after the quarterback and finding ways to generate pressure. I think I saw a stat that said the month of November, they had 9 total sacks versus, I think, 8 total through the first 2 months of the season, something like that. So they've found ways to get more pressure. I think they've used a couple other guys, just like, you know, we've had some guys step up playing some more snaps. Very similar deal for them. Plus, you know, their biggest thing was, since they didn't have any true dominant edge players, you see a lot of backer blitzes that they like to run. As a matter of fact, I think one of their backers, Chris Cole, he's kind of that high, not necessarily, I wouldn't even really call him a hybrid, but you see him, you know, line up in a number of spots. They rely on him to get some pressure on the quarterback as well. But that's another key. That leads me to my next point in the game. We talked about stopping Georgia's run. Why? Well, they ran for 230 yards on us in the first game. That's a big deal. And two, I truly believe Gunnar Stockton, while he's played a lot better football since the last matchup, putting them in those positions of those third and long situations, I think, could be a big challenge for these guys. And also knowing, you know, their bread and butter running the football is kind of like the, you know, it's what gets their offense going. So that's why that's a big deal. But it also will be a big deal in this matchup, being able to, on our side, find a way to just get our passing game back to what it had been, man. We've got to find a way to be efficient again in the passing game. That was one thing that definitely helped us out in this game the first time around. We had a number of plays, you know, through the air. Matter of fact, I'll pull up the box score from the last time we played them. But we got to find a way. You know, Ty Simpson for about a month or so now just hasn't been that same Ty Simpson that we had seen earlier on in the season. And I think it'll be big for us to see a glimpse of that, right? And it's going to be a challenge because this Georgia defense is a much better unit than they were in that moment. So on one end, you've got a Georgia defense that's playing much better in that moment, and you've got a Ty Simpson who hasn't been playing as well. Can he step up to the challenge? He did against Auburn. Wasn't a perfect game, wasn't really a very polished game at times, but he made plays when we needed them, and that was the most important thing. Can we see that again in this matchup? But if you go back and look, Ty in that game was 24 of 38, 276 yards passing, 2 touchdowns. Really should have been 3. You know, he had Ryan Williams deep in that Georgia game. Unfortunately, we dropped that one. But can we hit on some explosive plays? I personally believe explosives, I mean, could be a make or break deal in this matchup, especially talking about the running game has been inconsistent. It's been better the last couple weeks. I should say several weeks, right? Oklahoma wasn't bad. We know what it was against Eastern Illinois, even though that was a scrimmage. And then against Auburn, you know, it was like 150-some yards on the ground. Can we continue that with Jam being out, even though he went for 80-something in the Iron Bowl, right? Can we do that? Because that would help us, you know, be able to make those plays to the air. So we'll have to see, man. But offensively, I'll be honest with you, I think really our offense, they have to find a way in this game. And I don't – how do I word this? I'm a little concerned knowing we're already dealing with the whole injury battle, right? You know, that's just another thing you got to deal with on top of the struggles that we've seen out of our guys offensively. So we'll see. I think with those things I've said, it just makes me believe this is going to be a very back and forth type game, a very close game. I'm sure our defense is going to step up, force some issues for Gunnar Stockton, cause some negative plays, come up with a turnover or two. And I'm sure their defense, who's playing much better, is going to find a way to be disruptive as well, right? I mean, we're talking about Georgia led by Kirby Smart and Glenn Schumann. You can totally expect that. But what team? To me, I think this is one of those games. Probably comes down to a late possession. Probably comes down to a late critical moment in the game. Typical fashion for Georgia, Alabama. And who can capitalize on it? We'll have to see, right? Turnover battle definitely be big. I know you guys are talking about it. We heard Kalen DeBoer mention it, right? You look at the Oklahoma game. I mean, that really, this whole year, I mean, the biggest issue for us, when we hadn't had success, yes, we've had issues with, you know, consistently running the football, our passing game being consistent. That's one thing. But none of those things were ever for us. For other teams, it definitely should be enough to really, you know, derail a football game or lead to a loss. But for us, it wasn't that. It really was just a turnover battle. And that was against Oklahoma. Outside of Florida State, which, you know, definitely were turnovers there. I can't remember what the final turnover ratio was, but really that just was all around bad game. But against Oklahoma, the turnover battle definitely was the biggest the biggest issue in there. Let's go to the phone lines to catch back up on that. 205-342-9904. We got Tommy up next. Tommy, welcome in.
Hey, Tristan, how are you today?
I'm doing good, man. How are you, Tommy?
Can't complain. Can't complain.
Nice.
The key of the game is we got to see Georgia under 200 yards, 175 yards rushing, ground rushing. And we got to keep them 30 long. I mean, we got to make the quarterback make the play.
100%.
And Georgia got the same problem we do. We might have one or two more. It's the injury bug. After 13 games, the injury bug is a big part of the game. I mean, how you substitute, how you keep your players ready and focus on the task ahead of it. Because it's their time to shine. Now, they can't depend on this person, because he's out of the game. He's injured. Not his fault, but it's the nature of the game. So, and to see what the coaching staff have prepared for all year. They got us to this point, and they get us over the hump to the promised land. That's what we want. We want an SEC title. I mean,
It's still going to be interesting.
The SEC championship game is still important.
Because, without a doubt.
Yeah,
100% agree with you. I've always preached that you know, don't lose sight of the SEC championship game, man. I mean, it still is a great deal, right? I hate that there's not as much attention on it, but hey, man, listen, I still love and respect it, and I know everybody would love to be crowned SEC champions, especially knowing this conference and what it takes to get to this point, then go ahead and winning it against a really good Georgia football team. Who, like I said, man, it's interesting because they've just been trending in the right direction outside of really that Georgia Tech game where they definitely struggled and had some head scratching moments. They've been playing some really good football. So, I mean, if you go out there and beat this team for a second time in the same season, I mean, hats off to Kalen DeBoer and this Alabama team. I know a lot of people expect us to win, but I still would give a lot of respect for doing that just because I know the type of program that Kirby runs over there, and it's a good one, man. They're a good football team.
Oh yeah, I expect to win. I want to win. You know, there's certain issues and certain things I'm kind of having a little doubt about too. I have concern. If you don't watch football, then you know. I mean, I think you always get concerned. So. Let me give you a story so you can talk to other enlightened people.
You go
with Bama 26, Georgia 23.
26, 23.
Yeah.
All right. Let me think. 26.
Yeah, 23.
How you getting to 26? I'm trying to think of a. I'm trying to think. 7, 14, 21, and then. Fair enough. 26, 23.
That's the storm pop in my head. It's not a thing. Let everybody go. 27, 24, 27, 21, 28.
Hey, I'm not mad at a time. I just was trying to do math. I was like, 26, man. I'm trying to think of how you come up with 26 because normally. That would probably include maybe what a safety or maybe a missed PAT or something. But so that's all I was wondering. I just was curious if you were specifically thinking of something like that. No, you're good. No, we ain't nothing wrong with this. No, we got it written down.
Well, who ever thought you'd get a 23-21 score in the Oklahoma game? So hey, you know, it just
true.
Big number popped up. So I mean,
Tommy, we appreciate it, man. You have a great weekend, man. Nice to hear from you, brother.
All right, Roll Tide. Thank you, buddy.
Yes, sir. Roll Tide. Good deal. All right, we got to hit timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. But Real quick, if you guys haven't found a place to go watch the game this weekend, if you're not going, don't worry. You're looking no further than R&R Cigars, 2703 Gary Fifth Street here in Tuscaloosa is where you can find them. Great place to go watch the games. They got TVs throughout. They got the wraparound ports. A little cold, but don't worry. They typically have heaters out there. Not to mention the humidor, best humidor in the Southeast. They've got there plus over 160 bourbons, 160 bourbons that they have. And they're also now making their drinks with the Yay Alabama beverages. So if you want to try that, make sure you go there to do that. And they would be glad to have you. They also are doing their toy drive. They did the food drive, and that went extremely well. Now they're doing a toy drive. So if anybody wants to contribute to that, you always can do that and drop off those toys right there at R&R Cigars during their business hours. 2703 Gary Fifth Street here in Tuscaloosa. Again, that is R&R Cigars, rnrcigars.com, code MillersEdge2. Excuse me, to get you a discount as well. So make sure you guys take advantage of that. That is R&R Cigars. You listen to the Miller's Edge Town Hall.
800-8000 or visit meswins.com. I've got this.
No representations made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-
worth of coverage through Ethos.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/beat. That's ethos.com/beat.
Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Cloudy this afternoon and tonight. The chance of a little scattered light rain. The best chance of rain will be south of here. The high today 51, tonight's low 39. Cloudy tomorrow. Again, the best chance of rain stays to the south over South Alabama. The high 52. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 45 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back into this free-for-all Friday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. All right. Let's keep rolling on the phone lines, man. I want to get to you guys and let you guys get y'all's thoughts and predictions. And 205-342-9904. We've got Smitty up next. First off, Smitty, you got to tell me, how was Raw, man? I haven't talked to you since then, I don't think, man. How was the experience going to Raw? And then we can talk some football.
Every time I go to the show, it's so fun, right? I always have fun. And if you look at the internet hates everything. But when you go to the show, the people just having a good time, you know?
It is like, it's interesting you say that because I do notice that. Like, the people online that complain about the storylines and everything going on, it says one thing. But then when you watch, like, the crowd reactions, like, everybody else is, like, they're feeling everything. So, I mean, it is interesting, though.
Yeah, that's how I am. Because if you hate it, why you watch it? That's anything, you know. But before I talk about the game, how sick is Tim Brando and Bomani and all these other clowns that thought Kalen DeBoer was going to leave Alabama Penn State? Because Alabama's hard, but all the big jobs are hard jobs. If you want it easy, coach at Western Kentucky. If you don't want hard, you know.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but did Penn State just not – they just fired – you know, what's his name?
James Franklin.
Yeah, they just fired James Franklin after he literally had brought them to the college football playoffs, preseason number one, and then they lost, one to two games, and then they got me. So, I mean, I would argue that job is not much more secure or easy. Yep. I mean, I know Bama, without a doubt, yes, you're going to have probably the most pressure on you out of probably any job in the country. But still, yeah, I mean, to make it seem like going to Penn State is a big, I don't know. To me, that does not make much sense. Well, yeah, what exactly did Tim Brando, or who? Because I kept seeing people tag. What did he say? Funny story about this guy, and I hate even giving him too much attention. But when I was, the first show that I was doing on here, he used to come on there like every week because of the other hosts. They were friends with him or whatever. And man, I'll be honest with you. One thing I didn't respect about him, He spoke to them one way, and I don't know if it's just because he didn't know me, like he knew the other people or whatever it was, but he it'd be my turn to ask him a question. The way he would speak to me in like such a condescending, like disrespectful way, I'll be honest, I don't really respect how he goes about himself. He's just very arrogant, full of himself, and he thinks he's the greatest person walking this earth. And majority of the stuff he spews out of his mouth is just trash. So yeah. I hate to say that like that and spark any beef. There is no beef. I don't know the guy. Really don't have any interest to. That was my experience with him, and I'll just never forget. I'm like, he was very disrespectful and pretty much an a-hole.
Yeah, because the thing is, a lot of people clad and these people going with Penn State to hire a coach here. So it must be a coach who's currently coaching in the playoff. So they were saying like that. And man, Alabama fans are tough on the board. He stopped from the South. And I'm thinking to myself, Urban Meyer's not from the South. Lane Kiffin's not from the South. T. Sarkisian's from California. People kept being a conspiracy theory that, yeah, if he lost to Auburn or Georgia, that he would be on his way out. And I'm thinking to myself, there are people that talked, Cowherd talked about, like, he may go to USC if David came home because the AD is who hired him at Washington is there. And I'm like, the AD who hired him at Alabama is at Alabama right now. Why? It's like they prey on the stereotype of the 88, who calls Feinbaum all the time. Most people are rational. People do expect great things, right? We know this. But why would he leave this job to go to a job where they only have two commits right now? Means you probably step back for 3 or 4 years. Those players in that room, because the AD is nutty in a squirrel poop, they're going to be out in the portal. So what kind of team are you fielding? If your players from the South aren't going to State College PA, why would you take that job? That's the thing.
My whole thing on that whole deal was I never understood why. I would just say this. I mean, listen, Coach DeBoer already accepted this position. Now he understands what's expected. And for him to bolt before he even finishes year two, it would have made it the most pointless. It would have been so pointless to even come here in the first place. And that's why I never bought into any of that crap. And I'm glad he put it to rest during his press conference. We didn't get that far into it just yet. But to me, I was like, it's kind of obvious. Like, why would you leave right now knowing, yeah, I mean, listen, you know, you had the Oklahoma loss, the one to Florida State, but you just set yourself up to go play in a conference championship in year number two. And while, yes, this is a stressful job, you have a lot of eyes on you. And when it doesn't go great, I mean, you were at the forefront of not just, you know, Alabama media, but national media. I mean, we're a national brand, but what was the point of even coming here and taking on that challenge if you bail that quick? Which that's not anything that you would do. If we're we're in like year three or four, maybe, or something like that, maybe. But I never believed it for a second.
And before I get on the game, I'll say this: folks talking about Alabama fans are crazy. Ohio State fans were ready to fire Ryan Day last week. He lost to Michigan again, and they won the title. Mm-hmm. So those type of jobs is always hard. It's going to be a lot of pressure. If you don't want that, you can always coach North Dakota State. No disrespect to them. But, you know.
Hell, they might have some pressure, too. Haven't they won like a million?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Hey, every school will fire you, put it like that. You know, true. But it's a lesson. 10-2 is the new normal because you ain't going to find better. And but this game, right, I think the one thing that Alabama has to do is tackle, because Gunnar Stockton is a screen merchant. They do a lot of screens, a lot of yards after the catch. So you tackling is important. The defense, all these media people ain't said, hey, well, Georgia got better over the year. Kirby Smart makes adjustments. This defense has gotten better since that game. Tim Keenan's healthier. I think that was his first game back from that ankle injury. And now he's back. DeJohn Lee being the starting corner, he's more physical on the edge, because what the media didn't want to say is, because they don't do their homework, part of Georgia's running success was Kirby was like, huh, DeMonte Jackson doesn't want this smoke. He doesn't want to tackle. He doesn't want to hit. Let's run over there. Simple strategy. And I'm not being mean towards the kid, but, you know, it's ball. I'm not calling him out of his name, you know, just his ball.
Hey, but a lot of secondary guys, they don't really like too much contact, like to tackle. So, I mean, it's a good game plan if you're Georgia and you're trying to hit the perimeter knowing those guys are, you know, not going to be the most physical guys. No, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, and Lee, he gets that he's physical, he's a bigger guy, but he's also a lockdown guy. Of course, he'll make freshman mistakes, but you bet on that as a freshman. And I think once they make those adjustments on the offensive line, putting Formby inside and Carroll on the outside, I think the offensive line's got a little bit better. Of course, you're going to give up something if the other team's sending seven people. somebody's going to be free. But I thought they did a good job. And I think Ty Simpson has to be accurate. That's the thing. And he has to be poor. Cause I know pressure's going to come, but if you're going to be in the NFL, there's going to be pressure all day, every day. Ain't no clean pockets in the NFL. So when the layups are there, when there ain't no pressure, you have to hit those throws. I'm not even talking about the deep pass. I'm talking about those 15-yard passes that he missed to Jeremy a couple weeks in a row. But he does have to hit those deep passes. Well, he did hit one against Georgia, but Ryan dropped the ball. But you have to hit those passes because they have to be honest. And you got to make them think about it. And I think the run game, maybe having to play two tight ends because Quavers was hurt, might have helped some things. But I think you got to keep running the ball as well, because even that first game, they didn't run the ball well. But when they closed out the game, they got some good runs. And my last thing is, when people talk about killer instinct, this team can't put people away. Part of putting people away is that four-minute offense where you can run the ball, take time off the clock. And if they get that, maybe Daniel Hill gets that. Maybe A.K. Deer, but I'm not going to expect much of a run game. I just say, hey, you got to keep doing it to keep those guys honest. And I think that I still think we'll win. And I think it'd be like 24-20, something like that, because you got to make Gunner start to beat you with his arm. And watch his legs as well. So that means the defense has to be disciplined. And I forgot to add this, Christian. Yonze Pierre didn't really emerge that game either, get what I'm saying. He's a force now. And I think that's something to keep in mind as well. Like I said, our new secondary, our linebackers are playing better. And I think this defense could win it. Just don't help Georgia. And that's all I have. Hey, you have a good weekend.
Yes, sir. Absolutely, man. Smitty, I appreciate you. Have a great one as well. Great stuff. As always, man. Real quick before we hit this timeout, we got a super chat from Superfly 999. Appreciate that, brother. He says, what's good, Bama family? 28-24. Reed, we can write that one down. Bama, another SEC championship win, then on to the playoffs. KDB, the staff, and of course the team are doing the damn thing. Roll, Tide, roll. A lot of confidence there from Superfly. 28-24, that's another solid number. A little bit different from the 27-24 we've seen a couple of times. So that's good. We don't have to have a four-way tie if it ends up being that. But yeah, I know the 27-24, 28-24, it's a very Alabama, Georgia type score. I don't know why. It definitely feels like that. But shout out to Superfly, man. He's always hanging out with us in the chat, man. And love the energy, man. He's always bringing it when he's in here. And big thanks for the support. We always appreciate that here on the show. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we'll keep on rolling. We got, I think, another phone call or two we'll get to. Got some tape pulled up. We'll continue breaking things down. We'll give you our final keys, final predictions, all that stuff over the next 25 minutes or so as we wind down here on this Friday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Home of Alabama sports.
Alabama, Georgia for the SEC title again.
And Alabama is headed to Atlanta again and play fast.
It's the Crimson Tide and the Bulldogs for the SEC title. Live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia. Join us at noon this Saturday. On your home for Alabama football.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-TIDE.
Sold in stadium and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are great Irish experience. Head to the Free. That's Innisfree Irish Pub, wishing everyone a safe and happy holiday.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
And welcome back into this Friday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store. America's art sport experts. All right. We've been hitting the phone lines. We'll keep doing that. We got another call or so, but we've also got some tape pulled up. If you guys want to come hang out and watch us do the show, you always can do that at the Miller's Edge on YouTube, completely free. All we do is ask that you just hit that like button. It takes 2 seconds. It's no big deal. You just click like and subscribe if you haven't. Stay up to date. And it's that simple. Or on the Facebook page of Tide 100.9 as well. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. 205-342-9904 is the number. Next up, we've got Dale, I believe. Dale, welcome in.
Hey, Christian. First of all, I'd like to say you were one of my favorite players during the time that you played. I love those outside rusher guys.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate that, brother. Thank you so much.
What did you play at and when you left? When you left, what size were you at?
I left here, man. I was the heaviest I'd ever been. I was 247 when I left here. But realistically, my senior year, I played at about 235, 240-ish.
Right. When that reporter asked Coach DeBoer about filling LT Overton's spot, the first guy he mentioned was Quay Russo. That's about the size. He was about the same size as you, wasn't he? Pretty close.
Yeah. Roughly similar.
Could you have played that spot? Could you have played that spot, Bandit?
I'm going to be honest with you. Could I have done it? Sure. But would I have been effective at it? No. Listen, I'm just being honest with you. They used to play Will Anderson out of position. They had no choice, though, because he was a physical guy. You know, he could blow stuff up. You know, there'd be a lot of times when he was in a 4-eye, they would come down, he'd have to play some double teams, and he's not built for that. And that's why you're seeing him right now in the NFL. He's playing a true 5/9 technique with the Texans, and he's killing it because that's, a true fit for him. That said, I think Coach DeBoer, if you listen to him talk defense, I mean, he's definitely more of an offensive guy. I think he's more just initially thinking, when we have LT in a 5 technique, off the edge, I mean, maybe immediately, you know, Yonze just popped up in his head. But you're right. Yonze won't be playing what LT was playing on first and second down. Now, on third down situations, it could be a similar deal, just, you know, 5 techniques type stuff. But outside of that, you're right. I think he was probably maybe just assuming third down situations. But first and second down, no. I do not think you put Yonze in there like that.
Let me ask you this, man. What is wrong with Keon Keeley? That dude, to me, should be there, but I know I'm a couch coach. You know, I don't have any knowledge of that. But when I see him play, and I've been to several games, he whips his man. He gets in that backfield, man. He's got that dog in him. I have not understood why he has not played more. Do you get that, or is it just me?
No.
He's 285.
Yeah, he's put on a lot of weight, and he'll get plenty of opportunities in this game, not only with LT out, but also with Kelby Collins out. They've really been pleased with what he's been doing, you know, throughout the course of the year. And just to speak on him, I'll just say this. He had been developing behind the scenes. I mean, I know him very well. I've known him since before he got on campus, and, you know, I still, you know, keep up with him a lot. He's just a hardworking dude that's been, you know, busting his tail, just trying to get better and better. And, you know, when you've got a guy like LT Overton in front of you, and even before that, you know, behind the scenes, he started out as more of a true outside backer. They move him to Bandit. He adds some weight. You know, it was a combination of trying to just, you know, transition to the college level, transition to a new position, added weight, you know, different expectations. So it took him some time, but I'm just really happy to see him. You know, he's really just just coming along really nicely, man. And again, he works so hard behind the scenes. It's not a matter of, oh, he's not doing what he's supposed to do. He busts his tail, and it means a lot to him. And he's finally seeing, those rewards there. But yeah, no, I think he should have some opportunities. And you're right, he's a physical guy. He uses his hands well. I used to always just tell him,
in the backfield, man.
Yeah, he finds a way in the backfield. I used to just tell him, don't forget to use your athleticism too. You know, to me, I think sometimes guys, when they get so used to being that physical guy that they are and try to bull and power guys, if that's your game, that's good. But I also just tell guys, don't forget, I mean, you're an athlete, man. Be an athlete. Those offensive linemen, they're not athletes. That's why they play offensive line and not defensive line. So take advantage of that. Yeah.
I think he has both. He has a lot of power and he has a lot of athleticism. And to me, that would create a great bandit right there. I mean, they moved him in that position for a reason. And, man, I hope you're right. I hope he plays a lot. I'm really looking forward to seeing him get to play. And another player that I'm looking forward to seeing is A.K. Deer. Now that Riley's out and Jam is probably out, I don't know if he is or not, but
more than
that's
likely
a player to me that needs to get a lot of reps, man. I know we've seen a real small sample size of him, but I think he can create a lot of big explosive plays. I may be wrong again. I'm not a coach.
He's got a lot of potential. I remember, you know, when he first got here, you can see the potential, but it's no different than even a guy like maybe, you know, Keelan Russell. Like, they're oozing with potential, but it's evident that they still need some time to adjust, adapt, and you know, grow in this system and transition to the college level. I think he was in
What's the best way to do it, though, man?
By definitely getting more reps. But the problem is, sometimes, when you have other guys that are a little bit more ready now, right? We're talking about winning games now. So, I mean, there's a balance.
Well, here. Now it may be his opportunity.
No. Now, 100%. No, with injuries, 100%. What I'm saying is, like, earlier in the year when people are complaining.
Right.
What I'm saying is, you know, like, we're seeing totally like right. these losses and stuff add up. You don't always have the luxury to just say, oh, we're going to try. Like, luckily, we rotate more than most. But there's a lot of schools that don't do it as much. And the reason is, you just try to play the best players, the guys who are the best players now. Just like, you know, when I played for Coach Saban, there was times like older guys were maybe not as good as the younger guy they just brought in, but because that older guy was more reliable and you knew what you're getting out of him, they would.
You got a trust factor.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
I see it. Yeah, I understand. But now I just hope he gets an opportunity. I want to see him because he has such great vision. But I want to mention something else before I go. That earlier caller of yours, he mentioned Tim Brando's comment. I've seen that on Twitter. And what he said was that Alabama fans, the longer that it goes that Penn State doesn't hire a coach, that Alabama fans should be uneasy and get ready and get prepared for Coach DeBoer to go. And I'm glad Coach DeBoer came on there and cleared the air and made Tim Brando look like the idiot that he is. You know, he's a big LSU fan. He's a big LSU fan, big time.
Yeah, yeah, I've learned that. And, yeah, he's an interesting guy, man. He's just very, very full of himself. But, I don't know why people would even believe that narrative just given. I mean, like, Coach DeBoer is about to play for his first conference championship game. I mean,
right. It's the last thing on his mind, man.
Let me give you a score. Go ahead.
People do what now? Finish your story.
People come up with anything for clicks and views nowadays. So, I mean, it doesn't surprise me. But, yeah, let me get that score from you, Dale.
I'm going to say it's going to be a defensive struggle. I'm going to say Alabama wins 21-17.
I'm with you. I think it is going to be definitely a defensive matchup, one of those games, a game of good defense, man. I hope so. I love matchups like that. This day and age, you don't see them as much.
Look at Georgia Tech's game with Georgia, man. They scored 16 points, didn't they? And we've been struggling pretty much offensively, too.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's one thing I'm really looking at in this game, man. I mean, Georgia's defense playing a lot better right now than they did last time around, and our offense just still hasn't quite gotten back on track. So something to look out for. Hopefully we can find a way, but it's not going to be easy knowing – the number of guys that we still got banged up, especially on that offensive side of the football. Dale, we appreciate the call, man. Good to hear from you, brother.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Roll Tide, brother.
Yes, sir. Roll Tide, man. Take care. All right, let's hit a timeout. Stay on schedule when we come back. We got our last segment of the day. We'll give our final thoughts, final predictions, all that good stuff. Make sure you guys get those in here. And we'll roll from there right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
That's 800-923-6829. What do you have to lose? Call 800-923-6829. Again, 800-923-6829.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Cloudy this afternoon and tonight. The chance of a little scattered light rain. The best chance of rain will be south of here. The high today, 51. Tonight's low, 39. Cloudy tomorrow. Again, the best chance of rain stays to the south over South Alabama. The high, 52. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 45 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into this free-for-all Friday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. Let's put some final thoughts here. We had some tape pulled up, but I know we're running a little bit low on time. Key players look out for, you kind of already know it, right? We played these guys before. Gunnar Stockton, their quarterback, has been playing some really good football. He's got about 2,500 passing yards, 70% completion, five interceptions. He's been sacked 15 times this year. He's definitely developed as a passer as the year has gone on. Decision-making, going through his reads, all those things, those qualities that you look for in a quarterback. They've improved over the course of the year since the last time we played him. But I will say against Georgia Tech, there were some struggles in that game. I know they had the injury center banged up, hurt. But nonetheless, before that game, they've still been, you know, trending upward, especially him and the things they've been doing offensively. Nate Frazier, we're all familiar with him, and Bowens. Their other back, both of those guys are really good running backs. You'll see both of them. They feature a number of backs, like we saw in week or game number four of the season. Plus, Gunnar Stockton has that ability to run the football as well. He's got 403 yards rushing on the year. He is their third leading rusher. So, if you're, you know, Alabama's defense, you got to be prepared for that. And I think that's something to look out for, right? I mean, are we containing him? Not just, you know, that plus one quarterback run game, which surprisingly they didn't do a whole bunch against us when we played them the first time. I thought they were going to run Gunnar Stockton a lot more. They really didn't. Maybe they do that a little bit more in this game, because when they did a little bit later in the football game in the first matchup, they had some explosive plays off of it, or at least one that I remember. So definitely got to pay attention to that. But even scramble drill, right? Containing him is going to be important. Anytime you have a quarterback that isn't afraid to pick up yards with his legs, man, it's important, because you can be in a great third down situation, third and long situation, have everything, you know, handled on the back end. But if you let that quarterback scramble, roll out and extend drives, that can be a whole nother issue for a defense. Good news is we've done a solid job so far, even in the Iron Bowl. I thought we did a pretty decent job. I know Ashton Daniels had like 100 plus on the ground, but he also had like 23 carries, I believe. So, I mean, he was, you can almost consider that like an extra running back at that point. Their receiver, Zachariah Branch, really good player. Their leading receiver, 691 yards. Colby Young, who was their leading receiver in the first matchup between these two programs, he is out in this game, but Zachariah Branch is their key guy. And like Smitty mentioned, you'll see a lot of screen game, right? That's going to be important. Getting out the stack, tackling in the perimeter, tackling in open space will be important. They're trying to get their playmakers the football. So you'll see a lot of that as well. In terms of the other side, by the way, they do have some good tight ends for Georgia as well. So unfortunately, we're out our best tight end. They do have some good players at the tight end spot. But they are missing, the biggest thing is they're missing their center, who is probably the most important player on that offensive line unit. And they saw the early effects of that. Maybe the redshirt freshman who fills in for him, he responds a little bit better to having a week of prep, but we'll see. Wouldn't be surprised if we definitely try to challenge him in this game. Their linebacker core is a really good unit. Chris Cole, he's their leader in sacks with four on the year, but C.J. Allen, he's the best, probably the best player on that defense, especially the linebacker side of things. really good player, Wilson as well. We talked about it. They generate a lot of pressure. They like to run a lot of blitzes involving those backers, involving safeties, or run cat blitzes. They throw a lot at you. First matchup, we did a good job handling that. That will be important in this game. They had, I don't think they sacked Ty at all in the first matchup. And I will say this, our offensive line has been performing, you know, pretty well, especially, you know, keeping our guys clean. But our pass pro from our backs definitely needs to be better, especially in this game when you're expecting to take on those backers and blitz pickup. Daniel Hill and whether it's A.K. Deere, maybe a Richard Young, those guys have to be ready for that because that will be important. Don't want to be giving them sacks off of those pressures by the running backs like we saw against Oklahoma. That can be something to look out for in this game. Real quick, give my main key. Stopping the run, we talked about that earlier. That's going to be important. Got to find a way to stop Georgia's rushing attack. Went for 230 almost in the first matchup. We know that's what they want to get to. They're going to test you. They're going to try you at the line of scrimmage and try to win that battle right there. You got to bow up. Alabama's defense has been doing a much better job of that, so I'll definitely be paying attention to that. In terms of Gunnar Stockton, trying to make him uncomfortable, force those bad decisions. When he is in those situations and he starts making mistakes, they aren't as good as a football team, just like any team would be. So definitely want to affect the quarterback like we always do. Win the turnover battle. You know now against Oklahoma, right, how big of a deal that is. Got to find a way to win the turnover battle. And, hey, let's root for Talty, man. You might hit him in this game. We're talking about two really good defenses. We've been pretty solid, definitely on the defensive side in the red zone, right, getting stops. Offensively, I don't know what our numbers are, but I feel like we've been pretty good recently. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe the numbers will say differently, but I feel like we've been a little bit better there. Hopefully that's good, and we don't have to rely too much on special teams because their special teams definitely give them the nod in that category. A lot of other statistics, I mean, we're pretty evenly matched. So I'll say this, guys. I'm going to go with the score prediction of, man, I'm going to go 24-21. Bam. I'm not saying Talty takes a game winner, but I think he at least kicks one field goal in this game. If it's a game winner, all power to him. I'd love that for him. I don't necessarily see that happening. I am just going to say this. I am a little concerned about this matchup. I don't need anybody trying to sit there and say, oh, why are you scared? No. It's not that. It's just when I look at this game, knowing it's tough to beat a team twice, knowing the injuries that we have right now, knowing these guys don't really have much to lose. I mean, I guess neither team at this point, I mean, you're probably both locked for the playoffs, but I'm just going to be honest with you. I mean, these guys, they lose this game, they still get a good, decent seeding, I'm assuming, in the playoffs still. I'm sure they're going to be aggressive, and they're going to come at you. I mean, this it's going to be one of those games. And then knowing we're a little wounded, man, that just doesn't make me feel great about the matchup. So I'm just going to say this. I'm picking Bama to win. But if Georgia wins this football game, I would not be shocked. I'll word it like that. That's just me being completely honest here, right? I'm just going to be honest with you guys. You know me. I don't try not to be biased here. Obviously, I'm a former Bama guy, so I'm always going to root for Bama and try to choose Bama every time I can, just like Coach Saban does. But from a football standpoint, I would not be shocked if, unfortunately, it ends up going the Bulldogs' way. Reed, Chase, I'm going to let you guys get the last prediction and final thoughts here, man. What do you all think about this SEC matchup tomorrow?
I am going to roll with it too, Christian. I think Georgia pulls out the upset 28-21. I'm a little worried with the matchups and just the injuries on Bama's side. It's just a little too much for Bama to kind of recover from. And I'm at the standpoint where the SEC championship, it means a lot. It's something that you work hard for, especially in the SEC, but with the college football playoff rankings and how much you need to get through that point, I feel like Bama just needs to be just a tad cautious. I might get a lot of flack for that, but with so much kind of in the air, you know, with the playoff rankings and where Bama might be, I think Bama just needs to just do enough to win so you can prepare, because I'm telling you, if you come into that bye week and you come flat, they're not going to really care about that SEC championship, in my opinion. You're going to look at that loss in that bye week or that next game come and be like, what happened? Why were you coming out slower? What was the excuse? You know, we're back scratching our heads in the offseason. But, yeah, I have Georgia by 7.
And then, man, I've got a 28-27 Georgia. I just
Both you guys.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was telling. I was telling Chase. I was like, man, I guess we're the only two. And look, I've been a Bama fan my entire life. Okay, and at a certain point, you got to kind of take off the crimson glasses with the whole. I think and look, if you think Bama's going to win the game, completely fine. You know, I want them to win it, but I just think that, like Chase was saying, I think the injuries are going to add up, especially, you know, we were without Quavis and now without Jam. I just think that it's I don't know. I feel like that LT, Kelby Collins, it just something isn't right come this weekend. And I think they'll scrape it away on the final drive, maybe give us 30 seconds left to try to drive down the field. And I just don't think we'll be able to capitalize on it.
Well, real quick, hey, somebody in the chat said, "Rap boys." Real quick, we'll end on this note. Here's Kirk Herbstreit talking about it and what it could look like afterwards in terms of the playoff picture.
Hey, Christian.
Oh, is it? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm over here thinking I got it pulled up.
Texas Tech and BYU, they already played.
It was Kirk Herbstreit. I'm sorry, I had the film pulled up. It was Kirk Herbstreit basically explaining that if Alabama did, in fact, since I just was piggybacking on what you guys said, if that did come to fruition, which again, we all, you know, hope Bama pulls it out, right? We got confidence there. But Kirk Herbstreit basically saying that you still find yourselves in the playoffs. So I was trying to just circle back and end on some positive for our listeners, because I know they probably about had a heart attack getting two predictions from us. But hey, man, like you said, man, we got to just take the glass off sometimes, just and give your opinion. I appreciate the honesty there. We got to get out of here. I'm running behind. We got Wyatt coming up next. Big thanks to everybody tuned in today. This Free For All Friday edition of the Miller's Edge. Hope you guys have a great weekend, and hope you guys come back here on a Monday, on a Victory Monday, talking about us as SEC champions. Right on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.